All right. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Oh. Put on the full armor of God that you would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's some powerful words. I'll tell you, I am continually being overwhelmed with the picture of balance. You know, while we talk about platforms of truth, we've talked about platforms of truth for about as long as I've been teaching, because that's just the way my mind works. But this picture of balance and what we see in those two verses that we just said in verses 10 and 11 of Ephesians 6, and this incredible balance of finding strength and in the power of God and in His might, being strengthened by Him through the Spirit that dwells within us to enable us to do. And how quickly it is for us to go too far on either side of those two things. And how often I see, it's almost like I can't read a passage of Scripture without seeing both of those things there. I mean, the Scriptures just continue to tell us that we find our strength in the Lord and that we must rely upon Him, but not to the extreme that you are not to do anything. We are called to do things. And so even in the verses this morning in our worship service, we were called to worship, and we read in your bulletins, you found Jeremiah 6:10, you found Psalm 119 and a number of verses that came from there. I know that you all, when you heard what do the Scriptures principally teach, you said, "Wait, I've heard that." How many times have we said that particular catechism question? I've always found that one particularly fascinating to give us focus in what the Scriptures principally teach. And you hear me always say, it principally teaches who God is and what He desires of us. That's just an even more abbreviated version than what we read. But what do the Scriptures principally teach? The Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. Do you see the balance? That we are to find power as we understand. That's what we talked about last week when we said, how do we look at His power and His might? Where does He show us? Where does He give us an understanding of just how powerful He is? What does His might look like? And that's what we spent our time looking at last week. Well, as you found, and as we sort of said, the more you understand who God is, the more you see His power, right? The more you see His glory and His character and all the attributes of God, we begin to understand more and more that you may not understand them to full extent ever, right? That's why all eternity will be face to face with Him and learning more of His character. But do you see that balance that we are to believe what's concerning God, that we would see His power and understand His power, that we would rely upon Him and what you are to do? What duties God requires of man. You see, it's not just find strength in me and sit back and rest. You see? And it's not also do, and don't need me unless you run into a rut or something and then call upon me. Right? There's always that balance, and we are creatures that are quick to go one way or the other. Even looking at that, at Psalm 119. Reading those verses, you can see this balance once again. Oh, I'm just going to read from the bulletin, the selected verses. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Do you see that? What you are to do? That I will delight in your statutes and will not forget your word. And then open my eyes, praying to the Lord that He would open my eyes. You see? In His power, that I may see wondrous things out of your law. Give me life, praying for Him to do these things according to your word. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. of his might. Strengthen me. Incline my heart, praying to him to even incline my heart to your testimonies, not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. In your steadfast love, give me life. Why? The other side of the balance? That I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. You see? Constantly. This too, it just keeps going back and forth. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I hold back my feet. There's something I'm doing. I'm holding back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. Keep steady my steps. Lord, you do that. Help me. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Do you see the constant back and forth in the balance of relying upon the Lord in his power, in his strength, but yet to do? You see? It just keeps coming at me. You know, it's interesting how you have these thoughts on your mind and it's sort of like everything plays into it, right? Sometimes you have to be dangerous. It can be dangerous too, right? It's a balance. Oh my goodness, a balance once again. So where we were last week was, again, looking at these verses to understand and to consider trying to minister to ourselves to see what does this mean, the power of the Lord, to stand in His strength, to be able to do that, to be strong in the Lord. How do we see that? How do we understand that? But what we wanted to go to today was to begin to look at even more closely. Get my board fixed here. There we go. Was to consider how... Okay, we've studied, we've sort of talked a little bit about, we've looked at some understanding of just how powerful the Lord is. What does that mean? What do the Scriptures tell us? How is that revealed through creation, through the truth of His Word, through our experience, through what we see in the truths of Scripture from Old Testament to New Testament? Constantly the Lord is revealing His power to us, right? And that we are to find strength in that we are to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How do we apply that? How does that become real to us as believers in the way that we walk, in the way that we do things? How do we find strength in understanding more of how powerful the Lord is? You see? So one of the things that we mentioned quickly last week was to see the Scriptures and to understand that it's God's battle, not ours. Okay? And there's not that we are, again, balance, not that we're not to do anything, right? But to realize that this is God's battle. Satan is fighting against him. We looked at the wiles of the devil, and his main motive and focus is against God. And we, as the body of Christ, that ends up being against us as well. But ultimately, the battle is a spiritual battle, and it's a battle against God. And so this is God's battle, not ours. To recognize that the Scriptures teach us that... I love this passage. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, and to see this picture of how Christ is the captain of our salvation. I love that terminology, that He is the captain of our salvation. Hebrews 2, verse 10. Here's the reality of what I'm hoping we will have some time to do today, is we're going to be wielding the sword. Right? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Right? It is the Word of God. And so, think of this as we open the Scriptures and as we look at verses and as we read them and as they minister to us, this is a wielding of the sword. You know, we're all excited to get into the armor of God, and Lord willing, we will get there, okay? But here is what we've been doing, is exercising and utilizing much of the armor of God. And I think we'll find that everything that preceded this that we've been studying in Ephesians is pictures of the various parts of the armor of God. And so in our study, we have been studying more about those particular parts. And in reality, these verses end up becoming a summary of everything that we've studied before. Okay? And so what we're doing when we're looking at these scriptures, I just sort of had this picture in my mind this morning when I was going over everything. I said, you know what we're doing? We're wielding the sword of God. Right? We're wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So Hebrews 2, verse 10 here, sort of speaks to us and speaks to this picture of understanding that this is God's battle. And there is comfort found when we remind ourselves of that. Because as we'll see as we work through this, we tend to be too much all about ourselves. We tend to be very subjective, don't we? And we miss the big picture that this is God's battle. And there is great comfort that is found in that when we are feeling overwhelmed. For it was fitting for Him, that is Christ, Jesus is better, right? Isn't that what James says when he preaches to us out of the book of James, and what his line has been for the book of Hebrews is, Jesus is better. Jesus is better. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things. Just consider that power. That's part of the power that we spoke of last week, but there it is to try to understand that whom all things are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation, or some of your translations may say the author or the prince of their salvation, perfect through suffering. Again, it's just this understanding of this is the Lord's battle. He is the one in charge. Yep, we're soldiers in the battle. Yep, and He utilizes us in this battle, but it is His battle. Okay? And there's great comfort that we should find in that as we understand more and more of His power. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, since we're in Hebrews. Go to verses 1 and 2. This is, boy, some of my two favorite verses here, because I find there's great assurance here as we get this picture of a great cloud of witnesses, the picture of the saints that have died before us, those that are in the heavens. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see the balance there again? Of the power of God and what He has done, yet you're still to run this race. There's still training. There's still exercise. We get these various pictures in Scripture, and we see battlefield as being one of them, but we also see this picture of runners and running a race that is before us. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For there we find our strength, right? Who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. that picture of Christ in going through, when we read the New Testament passages and the gospel and the picture of Christ and all that he went through, and when he was going down the road and carrying his cross, and when he was crucified and dead and buried, when we picture the suffering that he underwent, as we try to understand that, it was for what? What does it say? The joy that was set before him. And what was that joy? That joy, when we look at Philippians chapter 2 and when we look at various other passages of Scripture, that joy that was set before him was the obedience to his Father and to give his Father glory. And what is our purpose here on life? What is the chief end of man? But to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The beautiful picture of those two are, they'll go together. So our purpose is to glorify God. That was the very joy that was set before Christ that gave him the ability to endure all that he did for us to glorify his Father. Wow. Wow. Wielding the sword, that we would find strength in the Lord. You see? That we would find this understanding that it is his battle. That there is this picture that it is his great plan. That it is his doing. That he planned it. That he is carrying it out. The decrees of God. That there is no way to thwart his plan. That his very nature and glory is at stake. That you can find comfort in knowing that you are in his battle and that you know how it will go. You see, that we should find great comfort knowing and considering that this is God's fight, that he has called us to be a part of it, that we are privileged to be a part of it, but that we find comfort that it is his fight. And not ours. It is so easy for us to get caught up in our own little battle and think that we're standing alone and that we're the ones fighting this particular area and lose the big picture of being God's fight and that we are in it with him.
You talk about that balance. It seems like to me that's that whole idea. If there's less of me, and only then can there be more of God.
Yeah.
And therefore, if I have pride, then that's going to crowd him out. And it always reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar being up there with his hands out saying, look what I've created, what I've done. And then God struck him down with a mental illness. And I said, we all need to, talking about balance, we need to keep that in our heads, even though we may rule the whole world, it can be taken away and we suffer as a mental illness.
Yeah.
But it's always occurred to me that when I get arrogant and prideful, it's when I'm truly not in his will and not on that balance.
Not on that balance. It's quickly thrown out. And so how do we battle that? But we bring ourselves back by realizing how great he is, how little we are.
Not
hit my will, but his will. And that brings us back. And it encourages us to do more for him. You see? The beauty of that constant balance that drives us to him. You see it in all of the Old Testament. You see it in Israel. And that the battles that they fought, they were fighting for who? For God. They were his people, and it was his plan that he was orchestrating for them to get to the promised land. It was all of that Old Testament picture, and whenever they lost sight of that and thought the battle was about them and their glory, that's when they were losing. And then when the Lord would bring them back, and they would understand that they find strength in the power of his might, you see, and it's for his battle, this is your battle, this is for his glory, they would win. You see, it with unspeakable odds, right? We see it time and time again throughout the Old Testament church. That would be Israel. Yes?
I just had a picture of, I believe it's Moses in the Old Testament, when they're in one of the battles, and he is praying, has his hands up to the Lord, and praying, and then his hands started to go down, he started to lose the battle.
Yeah.
And so in that, God's Word says, if I am lifted up above all the earth, I will.
Yeah.
And so when he's lifted up, the Lord, eyes fixed on all the garbage, and lifting him up, struggling, whatever, sickness, something in your family that's just devastating and can't understand. Lord, how is it that I'm to glorify you in this? And so that is lifting him up above our needs, our concerns, our wants.
Yeah. Recognizing that it's about him, not about me. Right? Again, that subjectiveness that we tend to sort of say, isn't this about me? No. Right? It really is about God and a privilege that he is using me for his glory and for his purpose and what he is doing. It is God's honor that is involved in this. And we as his children, you see, for us to advance and to be sanctified and to ultimately be glorified is about his honor. You see, for us to fail in that is about him, not about us. You see, again, it's that proper focus and understanding that in reality, this campaign, this battle cannot fail. For it is God's honor that is at stake. And I love this statement from Martin Lloyd. This is one of those Martin Lloyd statements. Salvation is not just our deliverance. It's about God's glory in our deliverance. You see, again, even our salvation itself is about God, to be strong in the Lord. But it is always this battle. This happened in Genesis 3, right, with the fall. This picture that we have throughout all of Scripture, throughout all of our life, throughout all of history, until the Lord comes again, there's going to be hardship and battle and fighting. You see? But this is a spiritual battle, not a battle against flesh and blood. And that this picture of this wrestling conflict is always been present since the fall. And it will continue, I promise, until the Lord returns again. But this picture that we tend to do this inwardness and forget that it's about God and about His honor and His salvation. And so even when we are unaware of it, even when we are thinking that there's no battle going on here, there always is. There's always this battle going on. I wanted to look at a couple other passages as we wield the sword of Scripture, and I wanted to go to Psalm 34. And again, we see this picture. Verses 4 through 7 here, I'll read for us. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. Verse 7, consider this and think of the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The protection of the angels. You know, boy, that's a spiritual realm that we often don't really think about a whole lot, isn't it? There are angels even here. You know, protecting us, doing the Lord's work, watching over us, praying for these things that the Lord would utilize them in our lives. Turn to Psalm 91. This is one of those where Psalm 91, verse 1, and you just can't stop reading. Do you ever happen to you? You turn to a verse and you're looking at a verse and it's like, but what about this next verse? Oh, what about that? Oh, and you just keep on reading. Well, that's what happened with this Psalm 91. It was supposed to be just verse 1, but here we go. Listen to the sword of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit. Let it minister to you as you consider you being one of the Lord's children, you being called out from darkness into light, you being the very child of God, the heirs of God, as the Word ministers to you, as the Spirit who dwells within you, isn't that the very same Spirit that led those of the Old Testament and the New Testament to write these words? These being not the words of men, but the words of God. Does that not make sense that God who dwells within you, when you read these words, it speaks to you in a special way? Do you see that? We're reading what the Spirit wrote through men, the power of God, utilizing men in their obedience, the balance once again, all the power of God, utilizing men to be obedient to Him and to minister, to whether it's in prophecy or teaching or writing of the truth of your word, writing God's word to us as we read it. Verse 1 of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Right? The fowler. My little side note. One who catches birds in a trap or a snare. And from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. You've seen the picture. You've seen the little chicks run underneath of the mama hen's wing for protection. We've seen pictures of forest fires and things where the mom is burnt and the little ones under the wing survive. You know, it was God that created the bird and the wing and the hen and the integrating of their mind, that that's where they would go in fear, that we might understand again a spiritual truth in God's creation and His ultimate wisdom. Verse 5, and you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, another picture of warfare, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High God, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Once again, the picture of the spiritual angels. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You remember that verse from the temptations of Satan against our king? Those were the verses that were used against him, and he fought with the sword of the Spirit using the word of God. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Verse 14, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. And why do we love him? 1 John 4. Oh, he first loved us. Don't think you did it. You see how quick? Oh, it's because I love him. He did. No. No. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I will satisfy him. Did you hear that in the sermon this morning? The prodigal son, he thought that he would be satisfied in his father's wealth. Right? Remember we've talked about the satisfaction, security, and significance. Right? He thought he was going to be secure and significant if he just had that worldly wealth. And nope, came up short. Deception, right? We heard that word this morning as well. Hopefully these things rang true as you've heard them in the past.
Hello?
Yes?
Do you know Psalm 91 is the one they ask to
us to pray for the Ukrainian soldiers.
Is it?
I forget who asked us to, but one of the ones that Lee brings out.
You can see the great application there, can't you? Yes. It's a picture of the battlefield and the battleground and the battle that we are in. Taking confidence in John chapter 10. Remember, that's the one who can snatch you out of his hand? Rhetorical question. No one. Go to Romans chapter 8, verses that are very, very familiar to us. Oh, but they bring great comfort as they speak to us. The wonderful Romans 8. That would probably take us 5 years to get through that one, I bet you. Verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. How? Through Him who loved us. Through whose power? You're a conqueror through His power. Do you see the balance once again? Just can't get away from it. The Scriptures give us both. They don't give us one without the other. They always give us both, always keeping us in balance. The Lord knows how quick and easy it is for us to go out of balance, because that's also Satan's attack, right? Isn't that all that we've been studying about the wiles of the devil? If you could summarize it, it's his methods to throw you out of balance, to make you go too far on one side or the other, to deceive you in the truth. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us. I don't think anything's left out in that list. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Power of the Lord. Strength found in the power of His might. He cares for us more than we realize. Go to Matthew chapter 6, the common passage of how we quickly become anxious about the things of the world. Follows the model prayer that He gives us. Do not worry is what my little section here in my Bible titles verses 25 through 34 of chapter 6. In the Sermon on the Mount, it starts with the Beatitudes, which we studied how many years ago? I don't remember. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Again, earthly created methods that the Lord has created, even the littlest of creatures, to give us spiritual lessons and understanding. Which of you by worry can add one cubit to his stature or one moment to his life? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Contrasting us with the non-believer versus the believer. But we as believers, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, for you are His children. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Again, found in understanding more and more of the character of God, how do we know that God loves us? He gave himself for us. For Christ, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. We talked about this when we looked at the picture of the marriage relationship, right? How do we know God loves us? For he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son for us. The suffering that that entailed is a picture. The more you understand that, the more you grow in your knowledge of the love of God for you. You see? The more you see his power and his strength, and the more you can rest in assurance of what he has done and what he will do and what he is doing in his love. Go to Philippians. Oh, wow. Look at the time. What's that? I know. We were cut a little short today, but that's all right. Let me just give you these verses in Philippians and 1 Peter. Oh, man. Listen to this. Yeah, down here. Yep. Philippians 1:6. Be confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's a will of decree, that there's something to be said in the strength of knowing what God is going to accomplish in us. But the other area that I find great strength in understanding is the way that Paul understood even his time here in prison, when Nero could have done anything he wanted to him at that point, and that he found confidence in what he was seeing happening in the Lord. Look at this, verses 12 through 18 here. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Can we say that? When we look at our life, and can we see the trials and things that we've gone through and see how God uses those things for his glory and for the furtherance of his gospel? Sometimes he enlightens us to that and shares that with us. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. See how often the God does that in history, where men try to stomp out the gospel message? I still remember that picture. I don't know what I was in sixth grade or something like that, and the pastor was teaching through Matthew, and he said, you remember, he stomp on a fire, what happens? All the sparks go out, and you started a whole bunch of more fires. You see, it just spreads in the way that the Lord uses somebody who thinks they're going to put out the gospel, but what do? They spread it even more. We'll silence Paul. We'll put him in prison, and we'll make him suffer and put him in, do all this stuff to him. And what does it do? It makes the gospel even more powerful, stronger in the Lord. And even in those who thought that they were going to do something against the gospel. Listen to this, verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambitions, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? How does Paul see that? He doesn't take offense to them speaking against him and trying to make it even worse for them. What does he do? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Wow. Look at what the Lord is doing. Sometimes we need to just step back and see that this is God's battle and what he is doing. Wow. Lord willing, hopefully we can pick up on that thought process and that motive and that movement as we look further, and we'll look at several more passages and realize that what we have been looking at in these verses as we've been wielding it is looking at God's sovereignty, looking at His providential control over all things, working them for His glory. And as amazing as that is, those are things outside of us. But even more, His power dwells within us. The very same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you. And we'll wield the sword and look at some of the scriptures to give us an understanding of that, hopefully even more, that it would strengthen us in the power of the Lord. That we would be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the armor of God that you would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh, I challenge you, when you are looking at the scriptures, see that balance. See the constant repeatedness that we see throughout the scriptures of how we are to rely on His power, but still to do. And those two things must go together, because so quickly, and we find it, and I think the reason it's so important for us to keep that in the forefront is because so often it's mistaught even within the church. And you must be clear that the scriptures are the truth. You see, as we look at it even more, the challenging part to that is I will tell you that some people do find this euphoric sense of joy in just saying, I'm just giving it to God. I'm just giving it to God. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. What do I have to do? God's got this. That's not the teaching of Scripture, is what I'm trying to get at. There's truth in it. There is. There is an aspect where, yes, it is all of the Lord, but not to the point that I do nothing. Do you see? That's the challenge in understanding that the Scriptures are constantly telling us to stay in balance. All right, so we'll look at a number of passages, and as we work through those verses, we'll see that time and time again that the Lord still has work for you to do. You see? Let me pray for us. Lord, we do thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You for the power that is found in it. We thank You for the way that it speaks to us, to the inner man, that we would find strength in it, Lord. Give us strength as we walk through this week. May we find strength in the Lord and the power of Your might. Be bold for the gospel message. Share the truth of Your Word. Give us great joy in who we are in You. In His name we do pray. Amen.